if you know me very well, very personally at all, you know that I really enjoy coffee. And from my discussions with a few earlier today, I think there are some comrades out in the seats there today. I love coffee. There's so much to love about it. The smell, the way it tastes, the pick-me-up. It's a good product all by itself, but what I enjoy even more is just the experiences that I have that I associate with it. A lot of times it will start my day. It's usually the most peaceful part of the morning that I enjoy my cup of coffee. And oftentimes when I'm seeking a little break from the pressure of life and reality, I get a cup of coffee and enjoy it. I've enjoyed coffee camping, right? And I think many of you often, when you're camping, that's one thing that we look forward to, right? It's a great experience. In fact, when I was in college, one of the jobs that I had to put me through school was at a coffee shop. I really wanted to work at a coffee shop because I wanted to be around it more. I wanted to learn more about it. I wanted to become an expert about this this thing that I enjoyed so much. And over the years, I've learned different ways of making it. I've got several different contraptions that help me do that. And I'm amazed at how many different possible ways people can take water and beans and make coffee out of it. It's a lot of fun. It's something I look forward to every day, and I never really get bored with it. I really love coffee. Love is the greatest commandment in the Bible. That's what Jesus Christ has said. If you've taken a look at the Q&A, that statement is repeated there. But the love that God commands is not the same kind of love that I have for coffee. The love of coffee is not the love that God commands, right? It's not really spoken of in the Bible. The love that we need to have is very specific. It's in no unclear terms in the Bible. It's something that we all need to become experts about. Just what kind of love do we need to have for God? Understanding it is vital to our salvation. It is something that needs to pervade our lives. Very early on in the history of the nation of Israel, Moses spoke about this. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." That's from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, something we're familiar with. We are supposed to love God completely. That is something that is very clear. And this, it is so different than loving coffee, although sometimes I wonder, when we hear about people loving God and loving Jesus Christ, are they really saying that in the same way that they might love coffee, right? I love Jesus, right? I love having Jesus in my life. I love having God in my life. But is that's true. That should be true for us, but it needs to be more. That's not the kind of love that God requires of us. It's bigger than that. So, we've heard a lot about love over the years. If we've had our ears open during these messages, if we've read the material that our church produces, and I expect that we'll hear much more, and we should want to, right? There's nothing that I'm going to say today that will be new to you, and I don't want it to be new. But it remains an important thing for us to meditate on. It's something that we need to dedicate our lives to. The love that I want to talk about today is the righteous, godly love that God commands us to have. The agape kind of love that is mentioned in the Bible, in the Greek language in the New Testament. This is the benevolent, moral, spiritual love that God has for mankind, and that Christians need to have for one another, and that Christians need to have for God. I'd like to ask that you turn over to Romans 5 and look at verse 5 with me. This is a scripture that was quoted in the Q&A, but I think it's a very important one for us to open up with, because it sets the stage for our capacity to have this love in our life. Romans 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, that agape love, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. Did you catch that? The love of God was poured out by the Holy Spirit. That comes from God. And then it really makes sense once you think about it. If we are trying to put godly love in our life, how do we know that love unless it originates from God himself? 1 John 4, and I'd like to read verses 7 through 11, express that same thought, that origin of godly love. This too is quoted in the Q&A. I'm not going to use all my material from there. but 1 John 4, starting in verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Did you get that? The origin of love is God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God.
Born is better rendered as begotten.
He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We have an example to follow, the godly love that God expresses towards mankind was fulfilled with the sacrifice of his only Son. That is a strong expression of this godly love, this righteous, moral, spiritual love. And this is how we ought to love one another. Now, that much we understand, right? We know that we need to have godly love in our life. We know that it originates from God and that it is made available through the Holy Spirit. But how can we know if what we do, if the expressions that we make and present are really expressions of godly love? How do we know, right? How do I differentiate between my love of coffee and my love for God? How do I know if I really have godly love in my life? Fortunately, the Bible gives us some great tests. And last week in the sermonette, Mr. Michael Bannon made a very great point that we really should have good tests so that we can discern between different things. And in this case, we need to have tests to give us a definition of love. So, like I mentioned, we're fortunate to have some good, clear ways of testing out whether our behavior is an example of love or not. And as we've consistently taught in the church, the agape love that we need to have is an unselfish, outgoing concern for others. It's not a concern for self. What we get out of our expression of love is really not a concern as far as agape love goes. It is the current concern for others, period. And that's enough. When we are testing love, we need to be testing the love that we have for others, not the love that others may have for us. The outgoing concern is what we need to be looking at as we judge love. Now, I make this point because we are in a position to judge ourselves better than we are able to judge anyone else. And in fact, as we go through some of these tests, what we'll find is that a lot of these things are even hard for us to judge for ourselves. So with that, let's take a look at the way this love of God is described in the Bible. It will not be a surprise that I'll ask you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 13, and I will be reading verses 4 through 8. Nothing new under the sun, folks. But I think this is very good to consider. This set of scriptures is very good to consider in light of how we can tell if we have godly love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Those are the tests. I'm going to go through those again for you, a little bit slower. Love suffers long. When we are trying to understand whether an action that we take is out of love or not, this is a test. Patience. Do we experience in ourselves a lack of patience? That is a test. If there's a lack of patience, there's something missing from that, and if it is supposed to be love. That's not the way love is described. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is there any malice? Can we take a test and say, my action is not malicious? It is kind. I am being kind. Love does not envy. Can we test if there is covetousness? If I have an action and I am performing that in a way that I'm envious, if I want something that somebody else has, is that love? Not according to what we read here. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Is there any pride in our actions? If there is, that's not love. Love does not behave rudely. Are we considerate about others' feelings? Are we, being considerate is the real key test here. Are we looking for others' response? Are we thinking about how they might react? Love is not rude. Love does not seek its own. Do we expect anything in return for what we do? If we do, that's not love, as it's described here. Love is not provoked. Do we allow our buttons to be pushed? Or do we forgive? If we're forgiving, that is love. If we are not forgiving, that is not. Love thinks no evil. Do we have evil thoughts about others? If we do, that's not love. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Are we happy to see somebody else's downfall? That is not love. Love rejoices in the truth. How do we respond when we find out the truth? Are we excited? Are we disappointed? If we're disappointed, we fail the test of love. Love bears all things. Bears all things. If there's a heavy statement in here, personally, I think this is it. Do we allow ourselves to become overwhelmed by the world around us and our circumstances? If we do, we're not passing the test of love. Love believes all things and hopes all things. These are the fundamental concepts involved in faith. Do we have it, or do we doubt? If we have doubt, that's not love. Love endures all things. Do you give up? If you give up, that's not love. There are plenty of tests there that we can use, and I went through those slowly so we can come back and reflect when we are trying to understand if we're expressing love or not. there's our roadmap. Now, this is very easy to apply when we consider how we might behave interactively with others. But we're supposed to have this love of God, for Jesus Christ as well. How can we do that, right? How do we express love to God in a way that it is not the love of coffee, right? Please turn over to 2 John with me, and I'll explain how. 2 John, and I'll read verse 6. This is love, that we walk according to his commandment. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Follow the commandments. And I think the same tests that we just read through in 1 Corinthians apply. Do we love God's commandments? Do we follow his commandments with patience, with humility, with forgiveness, with strength, with endurance? We can apply those same tests to our the application of God's commandments in our lives. The love of God requires that we pass these tests between one another and with God as well. Knowing and understanding the nature of love, how to express it, how to test it, is one of the most useful tools that we can have as a Christian. Love for one another is amazing when I think about it, and I hope when you think about it too. If there's a panacea in the world, something that fixes everything, that makes things better, it is love. Godly love is a very effective defense against evil, against sin, and many things that are just wrong in the world that we live in. Love fixes things. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. That's from Proverbs 10, verse 12. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. That's from Proverbs 17, 9. Love is what allows us to be strong. It is a buffer that endures and bears things. With it properly working in our lives, we can quite literally become invincible. And the reason is that it is our key to inheriting eternal life. We must remember that God is love. The love that we have for him, the way, his way of life, and for one another, that love originates from God. And we can rest assured that love never fails.